Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
What's going on, guys? Matty A here. Welcome into today's show. I got a great guest for you today with Mr. Yahya Bakar. I probably started following Yahya maybe 2+ years ago for a variety of reasons. Number one, he's just one of these infectious individuals where his energy level, it's hard not to be drawn to him. He's magnetic, but he's also somebody, as you know, with the Millionaire Mindcast, we love to focus on all things business, experts, people with real track records and resumes, so that way we can learn from them. But also, this guy, man, he's so genuine. He truly cares about people. He speaks his mind. He puts out great, consistent content. He's a great husband. He's a great father. All around, a whole life millionaire. And so to bring him on the show today to talk about what we talked about, I'm excited for you guys to get a little taste of it. I'm actually probably going to be bringing him back onto the show. But if you are new to the show, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss another episode of Millionaire Mindcast, where my guests and myself, we talk about all things mindset. We talk about money. We talk about market updates. We talk about life, all things that can help you on your wealth building journey based on where you're at, right? We're all looking to create something different, but we're all striving to unlock something bigger and better than where we're at right now. So with that being said, you can subscribe on YouTube, on all podcasting platforms. And all I ask is that if you get value from anything that we talk about in today's show, just share it with a friend, a family member, somebody that you know can gain some value from it, as well as leave a review so we can continue to push this content organically out to more people. Also, if you haven't hit me up yet, shoot me a text at 844-447-1555. A big shout out to all of the international peeps that have been hitting me up recently, Caribbean, Korea, I think the last one was in Africa as well. Some really fun times to be able to connect with people globally, especially with everything that's going on in the world. We are one. Everybody's going through this crazy time right now. So with that being said, if you haven't hit me up yet, if you haven't said hello, shoot me a text, 844-447-1555. Also, don't forget to check out all the freebies, resources, tools that we offer to our Millionaire Mindcast family at MillionaireMindcast.com. And also, if you want my free real estate investing course, there's a big wealth transfer that is coming, my friends. So if you want to kind of weaponize yourself and get yourself ready to capitalize on those opportunities, as well as to help the people that are going to be going through some challenging times, which result in opportunities for you, you can learn more about my free course by texting the word INVEST to 844-447-1555. If you want to be more in the know of the real estate businesses and deals that I offer to our Millionaire Mindcast family, and you don't necessarily want to be that active investor, but you maybe want to invest in syndications or in other passive income vehicles, you can text the word DEALS to that number, as well as if you guys want to get your free financial x-ray. My co-host on Wealth Building Wednesdays, Ryan and his team, they offer portfolio reviews to all of our listeners for free, and you can get that by texting the word x-ray, one word, to 844-447-1555. All right, so a little bit more about Yahya and what we talked about today. So Yahya is one of these people, has an amazing story. Amazing story that is very, he's been across the board and the spectrum when it comes to having massive success, to having all-time lows. He talks about his journey in where it led him to, in the sense that a lot of it was inspired because of his parents. And he had a pretty challenging upbringing, and how kind of the generational wounds that he had due to his dad and his mom. I mean, it's a crazy story. So he talks a little bit about it here in today's show, how that, you know, inspired him to go out and be successful, as well as how it made him the husband and the father that he is today, as well as the leader for others that look to him, because he works with some high net worth people in the business space who have created massive brands. And he's one of the, probably in my opinion, best speakers and stage presenters I've ever seen. this energy that I talked about, right? You guys are going to get a little taste of that. Just well-spoken, but he's sharp. He knows his shit. So he talks about how the, you know, circuit that he was on in speaking led him to where he's at now in social media and sharing the message and the mission that he's on today, and how many of you can leverage this changing world of social media to build your brand, to make the impact that you want, and to make the money that you want to make in the process, whether you got a brick and mortar business and mission that you're on, whether you're online. We cover a lot of how you can go out and leverage these platforms to your advantage here in the crazy climate and landscape that we're in right now. So with that being said, I know you guys are gonna enjoy this interview. Again, hit me up, 844-447-1555. If you're watching this on YouTube, drop some comments below, give Yahya a shout out, let him know what you enjoyed. And without any further ado, thanks for tuning in today. Let's continue that march to a million and beyond right after this quick message from today's show sponsor.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor. Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process, and in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
Ooh, I'm excited to welcome in my brother, Mr. Yahya Bacca.
Yo, so pumped, man. Thanks for having me, bro.
Hey, it's good to see you, man. I know, you know, you and I, we connected through social media, which is the beauty of, I think, social media and yep. A lot of the platforms that are out there. We were just talking about, too, a lot of the darkness of mm-hmm. social media and mm-hmm. Kind of this shift on social that is happening right now, a lot going on in the world. Yeah. And I know we're going to be digging into a lot of that here today. But with that Can't being wait. Said, you know, one of the reasons why I felt connected to you, your message, your mission, and just how you live, your audio and what you talk and what you preach and your video and how you live your life, that congruency, that synergy, that alignment, right, is to me, that's transparent, that's authentic, and it's powerful. And you built this amazing brand, this amazing business. And so that's where I was like, man, this dude feels like my long lost brother. He's just across the country. But with that being said, how, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily maybe know about you and your brand. And I know a lot of people do. But take me back to you've got a really cool and exciting story that I know a lot of people can probably relate to, and the peaks mm-hmm. and the valleys. Where did this all begin for you in your own entrepreneurial journey of building the brand of Yahya Bacca?
Man, that's a great question. And I'm always like timid when somebody asks me that question because I have a big ass mouth and I have a tendency to just rant and not stop. But I'll out of respect for your audience's time, I'll try to keep this as brief as possible, which means it's going to be very long. So so I was born in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. I think a lot of people always ask because they can't put me in a box. They're like, yo, are you Asian? Are you Spanish? Like, what are you? Polynesian? And so I was born in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, which is the holy land for like Muslims all around the world. My father was a Syrian Muslim. My biological mother was a Buddhist Thai woman who converted to Islam for my dad. She was 10 years older than him when they met. My dad was 18, I believe, when he met my biological mother. And shortly after I was born, they split up. They had a falling out. And I have two different versions of the story, which would be 15 podcast episodes in yeah. and of itself. But, you know, they split up and my dad had me under his custody. Then he got remarried. a couple times, and his third wife became my stepmother. She was a U.S. She was a U.S. citizen from Iraqi nationality. And so she fell in love head over heels for my father. And she said, I'll take care of your son. Because my dad had me when he was 20. And at that time, you know, Middle East, he's one out of 17 brothers and sisters. You know, he didn't have any freedom. His father was very, very strict and religious in the Islamic faith, wanted him to become an imam, which is basically like a priest or a rabbi, you know, with the respective religion, Christianity or Judaism. Mm-hmm. And so he became a travel agent, and then he just started traveling all around the world and became too busy. Couldn't even take care of me. So when he met my stepmother, she was like an angel. And so she brought me over to United States when I was 5 years old. I came by myself. My dad wasn't really there. And you know, I never even knew who she was. And she's like, okay, I'm your mom now. And it's, you know, I grew up in Paterson, New Jersey. And I always felt at a very young age, starting probably when I was 5 years old, I felt like a fish out of water, or like, you know, someone who had to like figure out how to fit in, because it was a survival mechanism or a coping mechanism. So she welcomed me into her family. I got to meet my new uncles and, you know, cousins. I'm the oldest one, obviously, there, but I had a cousin who was a little bit younger than me. And, you know, I was kind of silent for the first. You could easily mistake me as someone who was shy until I started watching like Michael Jackson. I know, it's crazy. But the way that I learned to express my energy and my personality was watching like Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee movies. And I would like imitate on TV, or I'd watch Michael Jackson do the moonwalk, and then I would do that. And it wasn't until like, it was my third grade. There was a talent show in my middle school. And I was like, you know, all right, let me do something like this, because I would, you know, constantly like watch and mimic the people on TV. And then I was the last person that got up on stage, and it was like Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. And then I started like pulling out my jacket, and my shoes from Payless. And I started doing the moonwalk, and I took off my, I was like a little chubby, short little Asian kid who was pulling up Michael Jackson moonwalk. And I became like this popular kid, like literally overnight. Everyone was like calling, oh, it's MJ, it's MJ, it's MJ. And that kind of like broke me out of my shell. Yes. So I started, in a way, the audience, like the stage, became a form of validation for me. Mm. So I learned how to, you know, get the applause and the attention from people. But then as I got older and try to figure myself out, I became a people pleaser, right? Like the only way I felt comfortable in my own skin was to get the attention, applause, approval, acceptance of the people around me. So I constantly worried about what other people thought of me, specifically my father. You know, as a young guy, the thing that I've always craved the most was my relationship with not just my dad, but like my blood. My dad was the only thing that I had to full blood to me, mm-hmm. right? Everything else was like, oh, like he's part of my identity. And so when my dad decided to come into the picture again, was when I was 11 years old. I got into martial arts because I got jumped in the street that's another story, but I got mugged in the street, had a huge black eye by these, you know, these teenagers. And my dad put me in martial arts. He felt like it was important for him to be, you know, in my life at that point. Then I got into martial arts. I did really good. I was a second degree black belt in Taekwondo. I was a junior Olympic champion. I fought in the national Olympics, and it was great. And that was the closest bond that I had with my father. And then it wasn't until 14 years old, my dad said he's going to get a divorce with my stepmom. And so I had to make a decision. Well, the decision was on me. Like, do you want to live with your stepmom or do you want to live with your dad? Right. And so I'm thinking my stepmom, she raised me as her son. My dad just came into the picture, but my dad is now in the picture.
Right.
So I decided to leave my stepmom. She was heartbroken, of course, but she understood. And then I moved with my dad, and my dad was a very unstable entrepreneur. So my dad was always an entrepreneur. He had his own travel agency, but he was constantly chasing. Later on in life, he became very successful. You know, as an immigrant in the United States, it can be very challenging to, you know, to get up and running and climb the ladder of success. But he was a smart guy, so he leveraged his, you know, his opportunities properly, got to where he's at, but almost at the expense of his own family. Mm. So what I mean by that is, in his mind, he said, I need to provide a living and protect my family, right? But the way that he would justify that, it would be working 24/7. So we would go from hotel to hotel to hotel until we found an apartment. And then we found an apartment, he'd be like, all right, you're a man now. Mind you, I'm 14 years old. You're a man now. I have to go and work. And when he says he has to go work, he has to leave the country for like months. So he would give me some money. He's like, okay, take care of yourself. So in my relationship, I was alone, right? So, I mean, what is a 14-year-old with raging hormones going to do at that age, right? I was an early bloomer, party, sex, drugs, you name it. I was the guy that, you know, don't let the smile fool you. You don't want your kids hanging out with him.
Don't right? bring a girl around me, Usher.
Do not be doing no moonwalks up in this bitch, right? So I became that kind of like lost cause rebel, hated authority figures. And that was just kind of like my MO at that time. Yep. And then I met Kate, who's now my wife, but I met her when I was 15. And she was like the person who provided, I don't know, innocence, purity, unconditional love at that time. And she came from a stable, secure family, at least what I perceived to be that. It was like different. Now at that time I was dating a bunch of different girls, you know, just like flings and whatever. But Kate was different. She carried herself differently. And I know my dad got married over the years 11 different times to 11 different women. So I got to witness wow. what not to do in a relationship.
Yeah.
Right. And I think my dad is a, you know, I don't want this to sound like I'm throwing him under the bus, because I have deep love and respect for my father. He's one of my greatest teachers in his example. Whether I agree or align with that example, that's irrelevant, right? But I've learned so much from him doing what he's done in his own life to get to where he's at. And I'm also reminded that every adult is also a child disguised as an adult, right? And if you don't heal that child inside of you, you know, you're gonna resort to certain patterns that might not be productive or protective of the ones that you love, productive towards the legacy that you want to create, or protective of the ones that you love.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like, now at this stage in my life, I'm married to my high school sweetheart. She's been like a breath of fresh air. She's been with me through, like, when I had nothing. Like, I'm talking like nothing. For 7 years of our relationship, she was the one who's working two jobs, just trying to make ends meet so she could travel and meet me in person. We did a 5-year long distance relationship. Like, she sacrificed everything through and through to be with me as I figure out how I, you know, figure myself out in this world as a boy becoming a man. Yeah. Right. And that's why a big part of my mission is to build, you know, generational wealth, but also heal generational wounds, right? Mm-hmm. Because I know you can't have one without the other. I call that being a powerhouse, someone who empowers others, leaders to leave a legacy, right? Which a legacy is about building generational wealth and healing generational wounds. And so it's interesting because we see, I mean, you work with a bunch of millionaires too. I've have a bunch of clients who are very, very well off, and you know, they might have all the money in the world in their bank account, but when it comes to their emotional account, they're completely empty, or they don't know how to navigate their relationships, right? I see people who have all the relationships in the world, but when push comes to shove and you want to provide a better livelihood and experience for the ones that you love, it's going to be very, very difficult because you didn't understand the foundation of how money works and understand how to provide and protect them, right? So it's interesting right now. I feel like there's an integration of both masculine and feminine energies. And when I say that, I'm not talking about some woo-woo shit that's like, oh, this is what. No, I'm talking about strictly, you know, integrating yourself back into the purity of those masculine and feminine energies, where the masculine is a hunter. It goes out, penetrates the world with their mission and sees what they want. They go after what they say they want. They're decisive and they take action in service to the one. It's not for them, for their own egoic desires and tendencies, but it's for the ones that they're there to protect, right? So the patriarch is coming through again, like the father figure is coming through yes. again. And I think the last few decades, there's been a loss. There's been an attack towards the you know, they call it toxic masculinity. I don't believe there's toxic masculinity. I believe there's a lack of masculinity in the world, healthy masculinity,
yes.
right? And so there aren't a lot of father figures and role models out there to bring back a different possibility, to paint a different picture of what the world is needs right now, which is from my perspective, and again, take everything that I say with a grain of salt, it's only my subjective experience. I think it's people are craving a healthy relationship with their their masculine and feminine blueprints and role models. And the reality is the ones that we expect those blueprints to be represented properly are also the ones who are craving it. My father and my biological mother, which is a story in and of itself, like my mom's side, they're both wounded children trapped in adult bodies who came together, fell in love. And, you know, just because you make money and just because you could have sex doesn't mean that you should, right? Yeah. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And I think it's one of those things where they could, they did. And the consequences, obviously, you know, the cards fell where they fell. And so I just realized at an early age, no one was going to come to save me. I can't expect my dad to help me or my mom to help me. I have to be self-reliant, resilient. I have to be completely accountable to my success. It's no one's fault, but it's my responsibility to get to where I need to be in life. And I, you know, I'm a student of life and I'll always be a student of life. No matter how successful I become, there's always someone out there who knows more than me. So be a student. Don't let ignorance and arrogance get the best of you. Just go after what you got and allow your humility to ride right through in everything that you do. And one of my favorite quotes that I do my best to live by, actually two quotes. One is by Rumi. He says, "There's a field beyond right or wrong. I'll meet you there." And that tells me that you can be clever, but not wise. Mm. And there's a difference between cleverness and wisdom. And so my mission in life, personal, is to embody the ways of a child, but the wisdom of an elder.
Mm.
So that's, again, integration of masculine and feminine energies on how I conduct my life and my relationships and my businesses, right? So like I have to see the wisdom in everything, even though like a child may be ignorant, but has the innocence to constantly learn. Like we never argue. I mean, you're a father, you have beautiful children. Like we never argue how intelligent our children are. Like they're sponges.
Oh, dude.
They can learn more, like a lot faster than we can. We just happen to have a lot, you know, time on our side and we have more experience from that respect, right? But we don't question their innocence. But instead of grooming that, we suppress that. Generally speaking, not everybody.
Right.
And so... so that's been like my new mission is just like, how do I embody the ways of a child and the wisdom of an elder? And my other quote that I'm very passionate about is, you know, no amount of self-improvement can make up for lack of self-acceptance.
Mm.
And that's by Dr. Robert Holden. So on my journey of personal development, I know there's a big difference between personal development and self-improvement because self-improvement is very self-critical and critical of others. They can judge. Right. And then it could always place a blame or some form of self-righteousness. I'm better than you. I'm growing faster than you. So that's why you're less than me and blah, blah, blah. Right. But when you plant a seed and the seed starts growing, it doesn't compare itself to the other seed right next to it. It just grows. And there is no judgment towards it. Right. So in my mind is like if I'm planting certain seeds, right, whether it's be physically in the form of children or metaphorically in the form of a business or in the form of a relationship that I'm trying to build, as I plant the seed, I got to make sure that it's in fertile soil, meaning like I'm in control of the fertile soil. That's my control. That's the environment, the external, the internal environment that I choose to allow myself to grow into. Right. And so I always say like we're all growing through what we're going through. It just happens at different stages and at different levels and at different speeds. And so as we're growing, let's learn from each other and let's not point the finger, you know, on one another. And no matter who's right or who's wrong, I hope that I'm the type of person, if I do something wrong, I'll make it right by, you know, righting my wrongs, if you will, by apologizing, by being the bigger person, by saying, hey, I didn't see it through. Like, I want to be that type of person. And so I told you, I'm going to go on a rant here, but all you asked is like,
I was going to say, if it was a bad rant, I would have cut your ass off.
All right. No, but so there's a lot. The reason why I'm kind of like vomiting here, and it's almost cathartic for me because I feel like now more than ever, the devils are in the details and we can easily get lost in the details with what's going on in a world of uncertainty and chaos. We're craving more hope, security, confidence, and certainty and clarity. Right? We're craving that. But I also want to remind myself and other people who are listening to this, including yourself, is like, take everything with a grain of salt. No matter what's going on in the world, it still doesn't have complete control over you, even though it might.
Yeah.
Even though technically on the outside, it might. And people will slowly take, you know, our so-called powers that be. But always remember, you're still in control of how you choose. I believe it was, who was it? Forgot his name. You'll remind me because you'll know who it is. The guy that was in Viktor Frankl. Mm. Viktor Frankl in the concentration camps, right? Yeah. They took all his physical freedoms. Everything was robbed from him. Food, shelter, you know, security, safety, connection, belonging, everything. But they couldn't take his mindset.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is the world that we're moving into right now. So if there's anything that you have control over, it's your mindset on how you navigate and see things. And how you empower other people to see things. We are craving perspective more than ever. And I think the more resilient, responsible, accountable the perspectives are, the more empowered people will become because you're reminding them that they had the power all along.
Yeah.
And so,
Every time you go, I feel in a rut or I do feel lost, it's when I'm out in the external instead of in the internal.
Right.
And I love what you said about just the extreme accountability and being a student of life. One of my favorite quotes is I'm a student of life and I'm always looking for my next teacher. Right. And those teachers are everywhere, but you got to be cautious or at least critically thinking in terms of what good and bad is being taught to you. Right. And just 100%. Being aware enough to, based on your core values, your belief system, the goals, the dreams, the business, the finances, the relationships, the lifestyle, whatever it is that you're trying to manifest and create, how those all play into that. Right. Cause 100%. You talked about it a little bit earlier in the sense of, social media in right now.
Yep.
Being, we were talking a little bit about both of us, we're very active and engaged on social media. And then at times it's like, okay, I might need to, take some time or build some boundaries or create, frameworks that I allow myself to play within and also to plug out of. You talked a little bit about, the shift of things happening right now and how that might tie into, and why I'm bringing it up is because there are a lot of people that are using social to build their business. They're using social to get their information, which is tying into their mindset, which determines how they show up at home in their marriage or how they parent or what they believe in politics or, what they want to do and how they serve a, customer or a community or an industry. And there are some forces right now at bay that are ultimately potentially manipulating in good and bad ways how we as human beings show up in those areas and what we create and what that ripple effect looks like. What are your overall thoughts right now on the social world and where things are going and what people should be aware of and how it ties into their definition of what wealth is and how they can create it for themselves?
Yeah. So to provide some context here, because, some of you are like, well, why are we talking about social? What does he know about social that we don't? So I started my career almost in 2011. So it was almost 10 years ago or a little bit over 10 years. In January 2011 as a speaker. And that's, I was planning on becoming a doctor, dropped out of college. It wasn't for me. And then I had kind of like a dark night of the soul.
You were one of the top speakers in the country. Yeah.
Right. I was one of the top speakers in the education market. And by education, I'm talking about high school and colleges. So I got, to give you some context, in 2016, I had over 120 paid speaking engagements all around the world. So I was in Malaysia. I was in London. I was in Canada. I was where else did I go?
And guys, we'll link up some of the videos to Yaya's talk.
Back in the day.
If you want to talk about energy and moving a room. Influencing people in a positive way. And that's one of the, I'm curious before we dig into the social, one of your, I would say one of the superpowers that every single person has within them and the ability to control is energy. Mm. And you have this infectious energy about you.
Thank you,
bro. In a way that can move people in ways that maybe they don't know they can move. Is that something that you always felt that you had? Because I want to talk to the person that doesn't feel as confident right now.
Yeah, I would say it's not something that I've always had. It's something that I've learned to harness, and I believe anybody can learn to harness, with the exception of some people who might not have the the social skills for whatever reason, but generally speaking, most people can learn to harness this. I mean, your energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It can only be transformed or transferred, right? So I believe all of us, regardless of what our upbringing is, right, we can transfer or transform that energy to be more self-expressive. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, two of my goals are to be unapologetically self-expressed while unconditionally loving myself. Mm-hmm. And because I've been able to exercise those two muscles of unapologetic self-expression and unconditionally loving myself, I'm able to have the audacity, the braveness, and the courage to wear my heart on my sleeve, right, without apology. So I could just say what's on my mind. People say, "Oh my God, like, how can he?" It's just like, well, let me explain. I'll circle back here. And I'll give everyone a little framework to help you guys exercise that energy a little bit, you know, a little bit further and deeper than you ever have before. When I became a speaker, I was traveling all around. One of the things I noticed was that I couldn't really be myself. Meaning, so to give you some context, as a motivational speaker, I'm hired to align and portray a message that the event coordinator wants me to speak about. Mm-hmm. So if they're talking about leadership or they're talking about motivation, they want me to spin the themes of that event to fit that. They're, you know, so I would always have to work within that message and that container. And one of the big things that happened for me is I reunited with my birth mother on national television in Thailand when I was 25 years old. This was back in 2013. It was like a big thing in Thailand. I was on the number one TV show. They were like, it was like they made dolls off of me and they're like, son of Thailand, the lost son has come back home, like little shit like that, right? So it was big. It was big over there. And when I came here, I started sharing that with everybody because my journey has always been about overcoming adversity. My story has always been about overcoming adversity. Didn't have the best relationship with my father, still don't, but you get the idea. And then when I reunited with my mom, it was like honeymoon. Like, oh my God, dreams do come true. Go after that. And then 4 months after, my mom left me again. And then my father disowned me because I wasn't religious enough for him. And this was during the time that I proposed to Kate on our 10-year anniversary.
Wow.
And so both of my parents chose not to be with me. So like that dynamic of family came to like full fruition. I'm like, whoa, what is a family? Is it blood or is it beyond blood? Right? Is it like, okay, well, I'm trying to hold on to the past and I'm trying to make right with what I got. Yeah. But here I am. I could start anew. And so I tried to start the whole new thing with the family thing. But what ended up happening was I realized hurt people. And I was like, in our 10 years of being together, Kate and I've never yelled at her or said anything disrespectful to her at all whatsoever. And then when we got back from our honeymoon, she was making dinner. I even forgot about what we were talking about, but I disagreed with her and it just escalated from 0 to 100. And it's so bad. I blacked out so bad that she had to leave the house. And I'm sitting myself at the kitchen table saying, what the fuck just happened? Like, mm-hmm. Look, this is not me. So that's when I took all my savings. I had $300,000 at the time. I took all of that and I just went in and I invested every single penny into therapy. Everything. I talk about cognitive behavioral therapy, psychotherapy, bioenergetic, psychosomatic work, deep. This is why I say it's not just about building generational wealth. It's about healing generational wounds. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to eventually raise a family. I was afraid of getting married because I was afraid that I would turn out like my father. That was a big fear of mine. Right. Fear of commitment was huge. I mean, I'm committed, obviously, to my wife, but why get married? We don't need to get married. What yeah. the fuck? Like, no, we don't have to have children. What if I turn out like my dad? Or like all these fears started coming up. And so I was just like, all right, if I'm going to start a new chapter, I don't want to carry the wounds of previous generations. That's beyond my dad. It could be his father, you know, his father's father. You know, just it could go back on and on and on. And I was just like, I want to start from a clean slate. And so I did that. And so that 2 to 3 year journey of transformation was pivotal in me becoming a man and me understanding myself. I don't have a template of what a man is, right? Like I'm not going to, you know, portray that as that. But I came into knowing myself and I'm still learning about myself and growing. Yeah. But that's when I came into my own. So why is that important? It's because I realized once I started talking about some real shit, deep shit, stuff that wasn't socially acceptable, talking about sex, talking about religion, talking about, you know, how I feel, you know, little things like that. Yeah. I talked about in 2014, I shot a video. This is the height of, so 2011, I started my speaking career. 2013, I reunited with my birth mother. So this is 2 years into my speaking career. Amazing. And then that year was a whirlwind. Like, I talk about a roller coaster. It was insane because I reunited with my mom. She left me again. I proposed to my high school sweetheart. My father disowned me because I wasn't religious enough. And then my mom and I would try to make it work. It was not working. I had to learn about boundaries. It was like all the shit that happened. But on the front, I'm all about like, hey, you can achieve your dreams. Go after it. It's like this facade that I was holding on. Yeah. And I was just sick and tired of pretending to be someone that I wasn't. So I was like, I want to take the mask off. So during that year, I was like, I'm going to take every single mask that I have on. I'm going to take it off. I want everybody to see me. And in that year, I did a video called My Secret Addiction. And it was a video where I talked about how I was addicted to porn since I was like 11 years old. And it wasn't like a bad, like it, I was like, you know, it, the general stuff that people watch, right, see, right, you know, right. It, as guys, we grow up conditioned to feel as normal, you know, Playboy magazine, stuff like that. It was like one of those things. Yep. But I wanted to do that because I was sick and tired of wearing a mask. By doing that, I lost 80% of my bookings. Which made sense, of course, because I'm in speaking in the education market. Parents might be like, I don't want that motivational speaker who's a porn addict to you know, to come in, right? And talk to my children, which I understand, of course. And so I realized around that time, there was a lot of going on. So I was like, this, I'm on the wrong platform. I'm speaking to the wrong audience. So I had to shift my audience. So in 2017, even though 2016, I had an amazing, successful speaking career, and I built a multiple six-figure business from just speaking alone, which is unheard of in that market. It's very difficult. I ended up pivoting completely. And I said, I still want to impact people. I still want to transform lives. I still want to make an impact and income, but I want to do it under my terms. I'm going to build a brand. And so I started building a brand. So in 2017, I invested, between 2017, 2020, I invested $500,000 into multiple programs, masterminds, you know, courses, trying to figure out the social media thing, learning from the Gary Vee, all of them. One of my superpowers is being able to simplify and synthesize complex information to make it accessible to the masses, right? It's kind of my zones of genius. Yep. So I was able to take all this complicated stuff out there, simplify it to figure out, well, what is the core to make it work? And I did. And so in 2018, I did a video a day challenge, which was 365 videos a day. And I, with that experiment, the social media video a day challenge, I was able to crack the code on how social media works and how to build a multiple seven figure coaching and consulting business just with social media. It doesn't matter about the followers, doesn't matter anything. Like, I had small I had less than 20,000 followers at that time, and I was building a seven figure coaching consulting business. And so I was like, oh, well, let me teach it to my clients. My clients did it. Now they're making $100,000 in 30 days, so $200,000 in 60 days. They're breaking records that they've never seen in any other industry. So it was good. It was amazing. It was awesome. And I still think social media is a great tool. Now, fast forward 2020, the year of perfect vision.
Ooh, right? Boy.
So this is where it got interesting because, you know, with any social media platform that you use, it's just a tool, right? My whole business is not based on social media, even though I use it as a tool to build my brand and grow my business.
Yep.
Right? So that means that the principles of marketing and sales are always the same, regardless of what niche, what industry, what market you're in, and what vehicles for a marketing you choose to use, right? It just so happens that when you're in the online world, you're location and time independent. So the sales cycle can be closed a lot sooner and faster. Your reach can be amplified 10 times more because you're not dependent on location. If you're in real estate and you're doing a showing, you don't have to rely on, you know, a scheduled set time to have a person to come visit to do a look through. It's just like, it's online. Hey, here we go. Here's a virtual walkthrough. Do you like it? Okay, awesome. So it could be a lot faster. So everything could be, the speed in which you can grow is put on steroids. Okay, that is the pro of social media.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
Now, and you could spread your message, you can reach the masses with that. But here's the cons from what we're seeing. Number one, if your identity is built on social media and your self-esteem, your self-worth is built on vanity metrics, likes, comments, followers, subscribers, and you're not seeing it as a tool, you can easily get hijacked and lost into it. You can easily be buy into your own hype, which we've seen with all the gurus out there and the influencers out there who think they're the shit now because they bought 100,000 followers or whatever, right? It's like, come on, right? Like I always say, and this is something that keeps me grounded, you're never as good as people think you are. You're never as bad as people think you are. Or say you are. You just are, right? And you're always going to be evolving and growing and shifting and changing. Yeah. It just now it's in the public eye, right? Most people privately, they can hide behind the scenes. So this is what I'm seeing right now. 2018, 2019, beginning of 2020, you could still leverage social media as a platform, but every social media is going to have its time. What do I mean by that? So social media platform is going to have its time. So Facebook at one point was amazing for growth, organic growth. And then now in order for you to reach your own followers, you have to boost your posts or it's a pay to play, right? In exchange for a social media platform to give it to you for free, you have to give your information. And by giving your information, the marketers can retarget you and you know, promote certain things that fit your likes, right? Now people can feel, well, oh no, I don't agree with that. Well, I mean, you're using the platform. So that's the, that's the exchange of value there. So with any platform, as you leverage, you squeeze the juice out of the lemon, eventually it's going to get dry. So what you need to do is you need to pay to get squeeze more juice, pay to squeeze more juice. So that means Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn is a new hot thing right now. TikTok is going to be, well, depending on what's going on with China, that's a different story. But like you get what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. MySpace, Facebook, you know, fill in the blank social media, new platform. Everybody's going to sexify it. Yep. It's still a freaking tool. Okay. Now, here's the main concern that I have. Remember, one of the main things for me is being unapologetically self-expressed. Like, that's a part of Yaya. That's who Yaya is, right? I don't care whether it, you know, I ruffle a few feathers, but I'm not gonna walk on eggshells anymore. I left the education market at the height of my career to do something that's more on brand to me.
Yep.
Now I'm noticing same patterns repeating. A lot of bureaucracy, a lot of censorship. I don't want to fuck with that. And so now the and regardless of what's going on politically, it's just in general, if you want to talk about religion, let's say you're a person who's, you know, you're of the Christian faith or Jewish faith or no faith at all, Islamic faith or whatever. Now, if I get censored for having my right to speak my mind and share an opinion without harming or hurting anybody else, like that's a problem. And I feel like censorship is only going to get heightened now. In fact, October 1st, Facebook already just said they have the right, community guidelines, right? they have that out there saying, hey, you know, we have the right to, if it's going to blah, 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 whatever they're going to frame it. So here's the beautiful thing about 2020, and social media is just an amplifier of what's going on. You know, some people say, oh, you know, what's going on with systemic racism or what's happening out there. It's just, no, it's always been going on. It's now it's just media is capturing it. And now we get to see it, right? I think also what also holds true is that everything that's happening in the world right now shows us how divisive we can be if we choose to buy into a narrative that on the surface, right? Like without really going a bit deeper, how easily it is to buy into a narrative, right? Now, think of a brand. When you have your own brand and you're trying to build your business, you have a brand message, you have a narrative that you want to share, right? And whether you align with it or not, I mean, the goal is to be polarizing enough or magnetic enough to attract the people who can vibe with your stuff and repel the people who right. don't. Like, marketing is all about that, right? Sales is all about that. It's not a fit for everyone, but it's a fit for the right type of people. Mm-hmm. So if you rob me of my opportunity to be polarizing or say a message that goes against that narrative,
no more free market.
There's no more free market. Like, okay, but hold on. No, that's not what we're trying to do. We're just trying to, you know, make sure that, you know, you respect what's going on with everybody else and everything. Like, no, like, this is what we're living in right now is martial law and tyranny right before our eyes. Right. And that's why, like, here's the thing. I'm not a political guy, bro. Like, I would lean more left, if anything. Like, I'm a more liberal, progressive dude.
I'm just saying.
But like, it caused me to be like, yo, what the hell is going on? So I would say too, and I don't want this to be like a doom and gloom kind of thing, but what I'm doing right now, and you guys are going to see the shift in this pretty soon. If you follow me on social media, you'll see on social media, they're just a distribution channel, right? I'm just going to use it as a trailer for like a movie, right? You guys want to see the highlight reel? Awesome. You want to go deeper? There's going to be an exclusive access or a private community for you to get in, and you're going to have to pay a price with your ability to, not necessarily financially, but your ability to respect the brand and the movement that we're creating that is uncensored. Mm. So I'm literally in the process of creating something called Off the Record, right? Because I want to talk about politics. I want to talk about business. I want to talk, and I know I'm only going to get even more polarizing as I continue to grow. I'm about to say some shit that not everybody's going to agree with. Yep. And I might not be right on all the topics, but I want to have the right to be able to express those topics without worrying about, you know, walking on eggshells or hurting a few people, right? So I want to be able to have that own platform. So I'm going to be shifting all that attention towards something where I have full control over. Yeah.
I love that. I thought you were saying you were about to start your OnlyFans account. So
no. Well, even that, like, even if I go, like, I'd rather host now. This is what I would say to anybody who's thinking about building a brand. Make sure you know where you're building your brand.
Yeah.
Right. And make sure you own what you're building. So what I mean by that is, like, at the end of the day, like, own the data, own the intel that you have, meaning your brand name, your platform, the name, like, all have that, all your intellectual property, your IP should be hosted on that. And just remember, social media, if they decide to stop and say, nope, we deplatform you, we're taking you up because they don't like one thing that you said, they can do that. They're already doing that. I have a bunch of buddies. We have a bunch of buddies who are getting deplatformed as we speak for having an opinion that's, you know, contrary to popular opinion, right? So this is just be aware of that. And so the best analogy is this, and this goes with like income streams as well when it comes to building wealth, right? If you have a beautiful basket and you have a million eggs in that basket, and each egg represents, let's say, a follower or a subscriber or a dollar, right? It doesn't matter. But somebody can say, you know, your time's up. Let me take that basket, right? Okay, well, what's the use of all those eggs?
Yep.
Unless you diversify them.
Worthless.
Or unless you create something. So it's the same thing with your business. I want you guys to start seeing yourself as a business. Your brand, you are a business, and there's going to be multiple extensions of you. And if you, as you're building your brand, everybody has a brand. The question is whether they're manufacturing it online or offline or not, like whether they're managing it properly, right? But as you're building your brand, right, are you able to be 100% you in service to everything that you're building, right? So for me, if I have, you know, a real estate portfolio, or if I have an investment account here, or if I have another business in e-com, or if I have something else that I want to do, I know that I'm the centerpiece. It's not dependent on me, but it's going to help increase the value of everything that I'm building, right? So I want to make sure as I'm building my brand that brand value can increase as I grow. Otherwise, I can just go back to, you know, pre-social media days where it, you know, you don't have to have leverage the internet and go back to, you know, old.
But it is something that people have to think about nowadays, right? Yeah. In the sense of, this is a real serious topic that if you aren't being vigilant about the fact that if you're building a house on someone else's foundation, right, and you're just on a land lease,
Yep.
And they decide to say, you know what? Nah,
you're done. Right.
You got to go. Well, that can be a significant detriment to your brand, to your business, to your family, to your wealth, to your legacy. Yep. And so some very important things to think about. So I'm excited. And I think you're spot on, dude. I think you're in the forefront of the fact that more and more people, and we were just talking about, you know, Brian Rosen, London Real, like he's done a great job in the sense of going, man, yes, I'm on YouTube. Yes, I'm on Facebook. Yes, I'm on Instagram. And I keep getting banned and banned and banned. Mm-hmm. But I have my own ecosystem that, sure, people are still going to try and attack and poke holes in, but I control this world. And in a world that you see more and more people censored because of it not being aligned with somebody who's way more powerful, way more resourced or capitalized than they are, that's a threat. And therefore, that freedom gets taken away. And, you know, it sounds so extreme, right? Some of the stuff that you've been putting out there, people feel like it's so extreme when ultimately it's just bringing attention and awareness to the fact that these are realities in the world we now live in today, just a different board game, different set of rules, different players now playing this game of life that we have to adjust, we have to adapt. And that's where the most, at least what I've seen, and I know in your world, successful business owners, leaders, influencers, they're really, really strong at pivoting and adapting quickly, because that's what the world obviously requires us to do nowadays. But let's talk about something for the sake of time, because you got to rock and roll here pretty soon, in the sense of family, legacy. Like, yes, you and I are all about, let's go build some big shit. Let's make as much money as we can in the process. Let's impact as many people as we can. But I know that at the root of all of this, the what, you know, is part of the gasoline in the tank and the fuel of the fire is your beautiful, you know, three kids, your amazing relationship with Kate. How, and I feel like millennials maybe have, I don't know if it's because of older generations, made some of these adjustments and seen some of these things as wanting to do it differently. But for me, I want to have it all. I want to have a big business. I want to have a big bank account, but I don't want to be bankrupt as a husband, as a father in 50 years, look back and go, man, you know, I made another 10 million bucks, but I didn't get to see my kids in that process. I'm estranged from my wife. How do you manage this balance and have it all, this all-inclusive lifestyle where you're getting it all, baby, you're getting it all at the same time? How can people really start to weave that thread throughout their business and their life and kind of ingrain that, build that, cultivate that in their DNA as an entrepreneur, but more importantly, knowing that it goes far beyond what dollars you're going to put in your bank account?
That's a great question. I think it's always important to begin with the end in mind, as Stephen Covey would say, right? Begin with the end in mind, see what the big picture is, and then reverse engineer, right? So for me, it's always been about, like, I have a perfect image of having an oceanfront home and having a bonfire with my loved ones, my great grandchildren all there. And I'm staring up, you know, in the moon with the stars and hearing the, you know, the oceans and the waves just crashing by. That's just like, such, like I said, it's there. Right. And so to me, that's what it's always been about. Now it's just a matter of, okay, well, how do we fuel that? And so for me, I was never motivated by the amount, because the amount can be different. A person who makes, let's say, $1 million a year, it's not about how much you make, it's about how much you keep, really. Right. So would you rather make $1 million a year and make 20% net, or would you rather, you know what I'm saying? Or would you rather make, you know, $500,000 dollars a year and, you know, have a 90% profit margin. Right. And only work twice, two hours a week.
Yeah.
Right. So it's all relative and subjective. So I think it's important is make sure that you have the right business models so that you can become the best role models for the ones you love. And business model is a big, big thing for me, right? So it's like, for like, I think from a legacy standpoint, like I'm, for the last 3 years, one of the other reasons why I decided to stop traveling, it's not just because of the platform and me wanting to be unapologetic, but it's also, I need to shift the business model so that I can impact more people from my home.
Yeah.
Right. So I've been working from home online for the last 3 years. So it's been beautiful. It's been awesome, but it's also given me the amount of leverage that I want in order to create my own hours and build it without having necessarily travel. Like, I rarely travel, bro. Like, I went from one extreme to the complete other opposite, where it's like, now I see the benefits of that. Right. So I would say, I would say make sure that you're building a, when it comes to business model, if you want to figure out what are the, like the checklist, just three things. Is it recession proof? Is it personality proof? Is it pandemic proof? Right? Whatever you decide to do, is it recession proof, right? Regardless of what's happening in the market between an 8 to 12 year cycle, you know, will you be able to be okay? Would you have to completely pivot or what's going on, right? So just do your research when it comes to whatever you're getting into or what you're currently in. Number two, is it personality proof? Meaning that if you have a personal brand and it's all on you, if you got hit by a bus, how are you going to be making money, right? So there's nothing wrong with having your personality intrinsic to whatever you're building, but don't put all your eggs in that basket. That was my big takeaway, right? Even if you make a lot of money, but like, God forbid anything were to happen to you, what's going to happen next? And is it pandemic proof? Meaning like right now with what's going on, everybody has their, you know, opinions based on stats and data. And, you know, regardless of the facts, people have different approaches and perspectives towards it. I think we're going to go through some dark period soon. And you should be ready to prepare and protect the ones you love as best as possible. Start hedging your bets, right? Lean towards the conservative side. If you're going to invest, make sure you invest in what you know with at least 80 to 90% certainty right now. That's just my feedback from there. And then make sure that whatever you decide to create, the best time to start a new business is right after a crash or recession. So if you're going to start anything right after a crash, it's okay. Just make sure it's a necessity in the marketplace, not a luxury. So it's essential. And then number two, just make sure that I would say there's some form of online component into it. God forbid anything gets taken down, you're shut down completely. You can't leave your house. Hopefully there's the internet there. And if the internet falls apart, we'll build the relationship. So we're moving into relationship currency more than ever. Right? It's always been, business has always been about relationships. Trust has always been the currency. But now more than ever, during dark times when people are looking for certainty, people are looking for security, people are looking for clarity and confidence, trust is the most important thing to build. And for me, this is a little acronym. I'll leave you with two acronyms here just to close the loop. Trust is all about five pillars. This is how I like build my family and run my businesses. Transparency, responsibility, understanding, service, and transformation. That's how you lead everything. Do not break that circle of trust. And when it comes to your ability to be unapologetic and put yourself out there, regardless of what platforms you get into, my name Yahya in Arabic means alive. And my ultimate goal and mission and like a personal thing is to help people become more alive. I have a bunch of like personal stuff, right? So, but alive stands for authentic, likable, influential, or inspiring, vulnerable, and empathetic. That's the integration of the masculine and feminine.
Love those goals.
And by likable, I'm not talking about like everybody likes you. I'm just like yourself enough that the right people will feel safe around you and will like themselves more because they're in your presence.
I love it.
Right? Yeah.
So. Bro, we didn't even get enough time, but I know you got to run.
We got to do a round two on this. We'll let the audience decide. If you guys want Matt to interview me again, let him know. Message him right now. Be like, yo, we got to get a round two.
Yes. And we'll talk. You want to talk about some real polarizing shit? We will dig in on that for you guys.
This is a little teaser.
This is, you get to know my man. Yeah. As always, brother, man, I got to give you love and appreciation for just who you are. I mean, your authenticity, your transparency, the fact that you lead from the front, you don't care. But you do care, right?
In that sense.
And I know for me, that's inspiring. I know for so many others, it is as well. And those are the real people that truly make a difference and create space for other people to put in that work on themselves and the areas of their life, their businesses. So I'm grateful to know you, my man, and grateful have you as, you know, somebody that so many others can follow, because I think right now more than ever, we need leaders. You know, you and I've been talking about this. We need more leaders. We need more people stepping up, saying the things that are tough, or at least creating the conversations that we can all collectively come in, right, and do the work on, and do it respectfully, even though the fact that we may not always agree or align, knowing that at the end of the day, we're always looking to improve and make things better for the next person behind us or beside us. And you're one of those people that I'm glad to be in the trenches with, man. So with that being said, for those that want to know more about you, who can follow you if you're not dethroned off of social media, they get more information on Yahya Bakar.
If I'm not deplatformed by then or completely banned, you guys can find me on Instagram. That's my most active place. Yahya Bakar, YAHYABAKKAR.com. Or you can just go to my first name, my last name, YahyaBakar.com, and then just send me a message. You'll see a contact thing and just reach out to me. I'm pretty vocal and I like to converse with everybody that gets in contact. I don't take my followers or the people who support me lightly. So yeah. So we just reach out at any point in time.
Yahya Bakar, appreciate you, bro.
I love you, man.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that interview. And if you did, all I ask is that you share it with somebody else who maybe needs to hear this today or that could gain some value from something that was talked about or discussed in today's interview. You just never know, one piece of information, a conversation, a tool, a resource can completely transform and change the trajectory of someone's life or their business. So if you get any kind of value or you want to support the show, all we ask is that you help us organically get this in front of more people. Also, for those of you who are really looking to accelerate your wealth building journey and unlock more financial freedom, get more time back, and just level up your life, your business, your finances, be sure to head over to therichlifeacademy.com to check out all the amazing products and resources that we offer to our Millionaire Mindcast family, whether that's one-on-one coaching with me, courses from our guests, all kinds of free content, downloads, checklists, upcoming event info, and how you can connect with us live in person, all kinds of great valuable tools. You can get that over at therichlifeacademy.com. Last but not least, I always want to know, who do you guys want to hear me interview next? Let me know. Shoot me a text at 844-447-1555. With that being said, until next time, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friend.